Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Dirty Playologist. It took some doing, but we drugged Keisha and Barb into the studio to record. They're going to be digging deep and getting to the roots of play. Things like knowledge, skills, understanding, and power. Here are your hosts, Keisha and Barb.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Happy New Year to Dirty Playologist. It's Keisha here with my lovely co-host,
Barbara Sheridan.
And today we have a special guest. Our guest is Amelia Paparava. Hey, Amelia.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
I'm really excited to have you here today. Amelia messaged me on Facebook, and she had listened to our show and was just so excited about what she was learning and hearing. And then I started getting these little nuggets of amazingness. And they were photos of what she was doing in her home with her own children. And I just got so inspired by what she's doing at home. This is not a preschool program. This is a mom at home with her own children. So I wanted to invite her on so that she could tell us a little bit about her journey.
Hi, everyone. So I just want to say that I'm just honored to be on the show and talking to you, Keisha and Barb, because when I came across, you know how it is on the internet, you just click on something, and I think we have pretty much similar websites, you know, an education site that we like, and there was several pictures of like 50 of them posted by Discovery Early Learning, and for me, just seeing the photos was like this big aha moment, and I thought, wow, I want that, you know, so I was just very inspired just by looking at the photos, you know, because I was learning about play then, and so I reached out to you, Keisha, and just wanted to say hi, and, you know, thank you so much for posting, and, you know, I guess, then I, you know, you were so kind, and we start chatting, and I felt like, you know, you would be the person that I can send my, you know, just the photos of my children playing. And
let me tell you guys, I mean, honestly, you are like, my suggestion to you is to get some more children and just open up a program, because she's got, Barb, she's got all the materials that she needs. Mm-hmm. And it's open-ended, loose parts, amazing play happening at her house. And I guess...
Okay, can you get... I mean, unfortunately, we're losing the visual aspect of this here because it is a podcast. So can you maybe list one or two of your favorite pictures and tell me what's happening in them? Oh, either yes. Keisha or Amelia.
All right, Amelia, what's your favorite?
So, you know, I think my favorite is, I think I send it to you. I took my two children down to the river. It's our little spot. We go there. We've been going there since my children were babies. So it's our kind of like, you know, almost like a classroom, so to speak. And it's the place where my children are very familiar with. And we go and play. My husband fishes. It's just beautiful. And I invited my girlfriend to join us. And, you know, I've been kind of, I guess, ever since I've been just in contact with Keisha and learning about your, you know, play materials and the loose parts, I was just feeling very empowered to go on my junk hunts. And I found by the river, I know, it's crazy, you know, the big tire. And there was, and, you know, my eyes just slid. I'm like, wow, what a beauty. And I took that. It was just already there. And I also found this PVC pipe, another beauty, just, you know, great loose part. And I just left it there. And so I invited my girlfriend with her four children, age from 1 year old into 9, and the children just, you know, jump in and start playing with the tire and the pipe. And I think I sent it to you, Keisha. They were just, you know, engineering this. You know, it was it's hard to describe, but, you know, the tire was standing, was up, and the pipe was leaning, and they were just pouring water and being just really, really just so into it and happy with a tire and a pipe and, you know, a few bottles that we found and they were pouring. So,
isn't it a wonderful moment when you realize that you don't have to spend all that money on expensive toys?
You know what? That's another thing. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, because we, you know, my family live on a very low income. So for me, you know, there are lots of beautiful materials I would love to have, but I couldn't justify spending all that money. So for me, you know, learning about loose parts and, you know, the open-ended materials that, you know, I've been always, like, my children have been always playing with those ever since they were babies. But now I'm, you know, getting in touch with people, folks from Pop-Up Play. Adventure pop-up playgrounds, I think, with Suzanne
Yes, the pop-up adventure playgrounds.
Yes. For me, that was like another aha moment, you know.
And you're planning to do something in the adventure playground realm, correct?
Right. I reached out to them and I read about the pop-up play and they offer a professional development course. A bit pricey, but they also offer scholarships. So I've been in touch with Susanna, I think. So I'm planning on taking an online class in May or April. So it's really kind of focused on play work. And I'm, you know, I would like to just, you know, have older children, you know, opportunity to just play with the loose park and junk.
And you have, what type of outdoor space do you have? I've seen pictures. Is it, what size is the space? Is it a big space? Do you have flexibility with the materials that you have there and how it's used?
So I have a pretty good size backyard. I can't really tell you the exact dimensions, but it's, you know, it's large. And it used to be a garden, but ever since I saw the pictures of your preschool, I just completely went, you know, kind of a junk crazy and start pulling all the stuff I found, you know, just in the basement, the big, you know, PVC pipes that I love. I found the old leather, and so it's pretty large space, actually.
What do you find was your hardest, like the biggest hurdle that you had to overcome? Because although your children, and most children, naturally play with like loose parts, like pots and pans in the house and things like that, you didn't always collect junk and allow your children to play with it. So what was the biggest hurdle that, or mind shift that you had to do to get yourself from one way of thinking to this way of thinking? So what was the hardest part about having to make that change?
Actually, my children, when Ethan was born, he only had just like loose parts and open-ended toys to play with.
Awesome.
So when I was a nanny, that was, you know, was a little different because I wasn't really learning much about, you know, environments. And so I encountered this wonderful philosophy that's called RI. It stands for Resources for Infant Educators. And if you folks are familiar, it's Magda Gerber.
Yep.
And Janet Lansbury from Elevating Childcare, who's, you know, really promoting the respectful parenting as well as RI. And, you know, I was reading Magda Gerber when I was pregnant with my son.
Your children are lucky. Your children are so lucky to have such a well-informed mother.
Well, you know, I learned about Magda Gerber through my college education, because I studied early childhood education here at the community college, and one of the textbooks was just, you know, supporting that philosophy, and, you know, Magda Gerber was, you know, really encouraging parents to, you know, set up environments so children are really exploring and creating, and that goes with, you know, providing an open-ended material. So my son would be playing with a box or a cup, a plastic cup or some, you know, wooden spoon or a big ball, and, you know, things like that.
So when you were growing up, like, is this the way that you grew up when you played, or is this very different from the way that your childhood was like?
You know, actually, I was, you know, growing up in Poland, and, you know, I was born in 1980. So I was growing up throughout, you know, really 80s and 90s. So I had the privilege of being able to play, you know, with very little. We didn't have many toys, you know. I was into strollers and, you know, babies. That was my thing. But I remember, you know, we just, the parents couldn't afford to have that many toys.
So I love that you said, I love that you said you had the privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So with the opposite of what, I guess, our society finds as being privileged, but you had the privilege to play with junk and open-ended loose parts.
Right.
I share that with my childhood. What about you, Barb? In your childhood, did you always, were you always into nature? Were you always involved with open-ended, natural, loose parts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, where I grew up, I mean, we moved to a townhouse complex when I was five, which is right around the time that, way back in when the dinosaurs roamed the earth and children were actually thought of as capable. We were, and so we, that was when our independent play essentially started, was around the age of five or six. And so for five or six years of my childhood, basically, it was the whole, you know, regular way that parents used to do it, kick the kids out of the house in the morning, and, and, you know, so it's grab whatever toys you could before your parents kicked you out, and it's whatever you could hold in your hand, and then everybody got together, and it was sticks and rocks and natural parts and anything you found on the ground to make stuff. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, I have to tell you guys a really sad story. It's quick and it's sad, and it's about, it's kind of about my childhood, so... This past weekend, I went to go visit my cousin who still lives in the area of where I grew up. And if you've heard me talk about it before, I think my childhood was priceless. We didn't have much, but the neighborhood that I happened to live in was, it was like flanked by a creek. And then on the front side was lush forest. And we just played and played and played and played. And we just played and played and played and played. So this weekend when I was at my cousin's house, I asked her if she could just drive me over to the old neighborhood so I could just see it. You know, I really love this place. So I went over to the old neighborhood, and you guys won't believe it. They had a black, like, jail fence surrounding the whole entire neighborhood so that you can't get into the forest, you can't get into the creek.
Oh.
I know. I cried. Like, tears came to my eyes. There was not one single child outside. Not one. Like, I'm telling you, when I lived there, at any given time, there were 50 children outside.
Yeah.
A huge neighborhood. Now, I looked at the fence, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And it enclosed. Pretty much it's a jail now. Like, it pretty much enclosed the whole entire neighborhood with this black wrought iron fence. So there's no, the children aren't playing. So when I see Amelia's pictures of a mother at home who understands the value of play and then goes and collects the junk, you know, what we love, we ECEs love to do, goes and collects the junk to make it happen, to kind of, to really support it, it brings happy tears to my eyes because I know that for some reason we've come to this point where we're not really remembering how valuable this was to us when we were younger. And by we, I don't mean the three of us.
Right.
Clearly. So what would you suggest if there's a parent listening who is at home with their toddler or their preschooler and they're listening to us and they're thinking that this sounds like something that's right for their child, where do you suggest they start?
You know what? It's kind of maybe interesting. I think, you know, I would suggest to start with becoming more playful yourself as a parent.
Good answer.
You know, because, you know, I was thinking about play work a lot, you know, and how to really, I'm just really interested and very passionate about, you know, creating environments for children where they can feel safe, you know, to explore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm doing it at home right now. I would love to, you know, work at the place, like yours, Keisha, so I can actually learn how, you know, take a step up and see how that works, you know, in an LVU setting. But I feel like for myself, I realized, you know, I've been setting up this environment for my children and kind of maybe in a rigid way somehow because I forgot to play myself. Mm. Be more playful, you know? So,
that is
of course, I would have.
I was just going to say that's really good advice. I like that message. And I think that's a good message for not only parents, but also educators. Because I think sometimes we get so caught up in the documentation or in the advocacy or in the day-to-day work of early childhood that we forget to be playful ourselves.
Right. And I think, you know, there's just wonderful, you know, I don't know when I've heard that slogan, maybe from Magda Gerber, it sounds like, but it's, you know, the less is more.
Mm-hmm. It is Magda. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that was her beautiful message, which can apply to, you know, so many areas of our life. And I think that, you know, I would definitely kind of take a look at the toys I have and materials and, you know, add, not overwhelmingly a lot, but, you know, add the cardboard box and, you know, you don't have to bring a lot of things from nature, you know, a lot of stuff lying around, but just start with a cardboard box and, you know, just kind of go from there and just some recycling that you have that children may want to explore,
you know. So is there anything about this that is hard? Anything that makes you say, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Do you ever have those moments? And if you do, what are the cause of those moments?
Yes, for me, I think I've struggled with, and I think, you know, I talked to you about it with some messages that I struggle a little bit with the mess, you know, and I'm trying to balance, like, because there's so many great loose parts I have, the small ones, you know, that I wanted to give to my children. And then, you know, I try to kind of find the balance in between having enough stuff and not too much and not too little.
Mm-hmm.
As well. So
at home, I see that as being a bigger problem than at the school, because when you're working at a school, you know, that's your workplace and you can go home to a clean place, but you're talking about in your home and trying to balance that sort of messy play with the home environment. How do you see the two of those together?
So that's really, you know, that's a really good question. I actually, you know, like order, and I like to have a place that is just, you know, organized. So I have two rooms when my children are not welcome with their, you know, they're kind of, you know, it's my bedroom and it's my living room, and they're allowed to be there, but they're not allowed to bring toys.
Mm-hmm. So there are some boundaries.
Yes. You know, I don't want every place to be, and, you know, I appreciate the way my children play more and more. So, obviously I let them, you know, make piles with their, you know, blocks and stuff, but I don't want to have loose parts everywhere in my home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I appreciate that unclutter space.
I think it's good that you're saying that, because I think that people hear this and they feel like they have to give up their entire house to make it work, or to make a developmentally appropriate space, they have to give up their entire house, when in fact you don't. You don't have to give up your entire house, but I think it's important that you do create places where your child can be who they are.
Yes. And, you know, I was always inspired by Magda Gerber, and I think that was my, you know, my first aha moment, you know, and, like, I was reading her books and advices on parenting, you know, and also setting up an environment for play. And she was always recommending, I never forget that, to set up a room for an infant. It doesn't have to be a big room, but just room where, she said, make it safe so that if you get locked out by accident, your child may be crying, be stressed, but it would be physically safe.
Be safe, yeah, a yes space where...
Yes space.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I put up a gate. I remember talking with my girlfriend, and she said, she was from Poland, so maybe we don't do gates in Poland. And she, you know, she expressed her concern that it's like, oh, I feel like my child is in a cage. And I explained her to her that, you know, I have a gate, so my little boy, then, you know, he was an infant, could just safely explore, mm-hmm. you know, that I don't have to say no to him. And that was very important to me. So it was just, you know, one of our bedrooms that we had a mattress on the floor, and it was, you know, a safe place with just very few objects to play with. And he would, you know, I would place him on a pad and I would just sit and watch.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Looking at your pictures and talking with you, now that you tell me that your son has been playing with loose parts from infancy, I'm looking at these pictures of a young boy. Tell me his age.
Ethan will be 4 in March, so he's, you know.
And he is an experienced player. Like, this boy's got ideas. He has amazing ideas. There's one picture where he has a chair, and under each leg of the chair is a jar. Barb, I sent you the pictures, by the way. I don't know if you can look at them, but I sent them to you. He has
I love the descriptions.
Yeah, he has a jar under each leg of each chair, and the chair is like up on a pedestal. And then behind it, you can see where he's painted a mural. It looks like directly, well, maybe there's paper there, but literally like a huge, ginormous painting. And I think that's some of the stuff that parents are afraid of, like paint and that type of messy stuff that could travel outside of the play place. How do you deal with that? Like, how do you keep it in a place that's acceptable for you at the house?
So, you know, I think it's so important to kind of just, you know, have our own boundaries, because everybody have a different tolerance to mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my tolerance is kind of, I'm losing up, but, you know, I came from a very orderly, you know, household.
I'll tell you, from looking at your pictures, you're loosening up. You're loose.
So, you know, I would love to, like, I love in your center, your children have an access to paint, right? Is that true? Like, yes. Anytime they would like to. Yeah, I don't have that at home.
Mm-hmm.
Because where my easel is, it's kind of my dining area as well. So as much as I would love to have my, you know, have my children pump, you know, get the paint, I think that with their age also would end up just everywhere. So I have to, you know, also be mindful of their own, you know, development.
Their capabilities. Well, maybe maybe that's something that you can do outside this summer.
So I've been doing that. I have a really lovely porch. But actually, I do set up some painting, kind of experiences for them, and I put a big pad of, I don't know, just some tarp, and mm-hmm. then, you know, but I feel like I'm kind of rigid about not getting too much paint on the floor, so definitely an outdoor space is much better.
Sorry, listeners, we got to cut it off there. Back soon with the second part of this episode. Bye-bye. This has been The Dirty Playologist. Back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.